old Baptist preacher was finally retiring from his pastorate, and he was going out into evangelism, like many of the men do, and I'll get going here in a minute, John. And his dog died, and he said, "Honey, I just can't go into my golden years without a good dog by my side, you know, and I love that one so much." And he said, "Let's go down and try to find us a little puppy dog to take care of." And so they went down to the pet store, and of course, all he knew was the Lord. He'd been in the ministry for 40-some years. And so he goes up to this gal and says, "Now, I'm looking for a Baptist dog." And the lady said, "Sir, I'm sure I don't know what you mean." And he said, "I'm a Baptist preacher, and that's all I know is Baptist, and I want a Baptist dog." And she said, "We don't have anything here like this." She said, "But if you go down this road right down here, there's a retired Baptist preacher down there. He raises dogs and sells them for a little side living, and maybe he'd know what you're talking about." So he went down there, and sure enough, he said, "Hey, you got any Baptist dogs around here?" He said, "Oh, I'm flush with them. I got tons of Baptist dogs." And he said, "This little guy right here is just the smartest thing you ever seen, and he's as Baptist as the day is long. Take him home, and you'll love him." So he did, and so he said, "Well, honey, let's see what our little dog knows here, you know." And he said, "Puppy, do you know where John 3:16 is?" And he laid the Bible down there, and sure enough, that dog flipped right, put his paw right on John 3:16. He said, "Wow, this is all right." And he said, "Puppy, do you know how to say your prayers?" And he put his little paws up. And he said, "Man, this really is a Baptist dog. I like this, you know." And his wife said, "Honey, that's all well and good, but who are we going to show that stuff to, you know?" He said, "Don't you think he ought to know some normal dog tricks?" And he said, "Well, you're right. Heel." And the dog went, "Woo!" like that. And his wife said, "I knew we got ripped off. It's a Pentecostal." Matthew chapter 11. We're done with that. That's okay. I'll mail it to you. Yeah, it did. It was the dog of a joke. Nothing new under the sun. Verse 28 says, and our Lord is speaking here, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want you to focus on that phrase, "I will give you rest." You don't take it, he gives it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you, Lord, for a preacher that allowed me to get up behind this holy desk and declare what thus saith the Lord. Oh God, I pray you touch my lips now, touch my tongue. Holy Spirit of God, fill me and use me tonight that we might learn. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord, if you read the four Gospels, you'll find out that I know Christ was God, but he was also a man, amen? I believe that when Christ went home after a long day of healing people and walking from town to town, and I'm not being disrespectful to my Lord and Savior, I believe he sweat and his armpits stank, and his feet got dirty and he had bad breath from time to time, and his hair got dirty. He was a man, just as much of a man as I am. I can't explain that. How does God come inside and take the form of a man? I can't explain that no more than you can. We accept those things by faith. How was he born of a virgin? We don't know that. I mean, we accept those things by faith. You can't sit down and write that out in some chemistry lesson. It's impossible. But we accept those things by faith. But one thing I notice about my Lord is, I'll tell you what, preacher, if there was a preacher that walked the face of this earth that tirelessly worked for the Father, it was our Savior. I didn't write it down, I guess because I'm lazy. I don't know what the problem is, but I didn't have it here in front of me. But there's a passage in, I believe it's in Mark, where if you read the timeline, the Lord got up early in the morning, immediately met by throngs of people, healed people all day long. Then he prayed all through the night. Then he healed people all the next day. How do you do that on a continual basis? I understand he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and so that gave him the drive to go on. But what I want to focus on is this. If you read through the Gospels, you'll find over and over and over again, amidst all of that work that he did, an intensified work of healing and walking and traveling and preaching and all the things that he did, you'll find many, many places where it says that he went apart in the mountains to pray. And he called his disciples up with him to pray and also to rest. And I want to call to you tonight, I'm asking you, as God's people, will you rest a little while? Now, physically speaking, how many of you are tired tonight? I'm almost as tired, I can't hold my hand up here. Maybe I'm just lazy, I don't know. But our Lord, I think, is calling some people to rest in this passage here. You've probably heard this preached 100 times, but I want to reemphasize it to us. First of all, we see here, there's rest for the sinner. There's rest for the sinner with the Lord Jesus. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How many times have you heard this testimony from a lost person? They would get saved and they would say something of this effect: "I was looking and searching for something, but I couldn't put my finger on what it was until after I got saved. And then I realized it, you know? And even though I was raised in a Christian home, I have that same testimony, as I was really searching for the Lord in all the wrong ways and all the wrong means and methods. And I was sitting in that church pew, and every time I'd hear a message on the second coming, I'd sit there and shake in my boots and quiver and quake. And when the preacher would ask for a show of hands, how many of you are saved? Mine went like this, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, just a little shot up and down. And in the midst of me raising my hand like that, I would say, "Oh God, if I'm not saved, save me now." Until I was 15, that went on for 9.5 years, until one day I was 15, I was at the Good Shepherd Nursing Home in Ashland, Ohio, and my best friend asked me, "You know, I call you my best friend, but I've never asked you, if you die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven?" I went, "Yep." He said, "Okay, that's all I wanted to know," and he walked away, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart and said, "Buddy, if you walk out of these doors, you're going to die and go to hell because you just rejected Christ." And so I bowed my head right there by the Pepsi machine. Amen.
Amen.
You got your green couch. I got my Pepsi.
Amen.
I still drink Pepsi.
Amen.
And I got saved right by the Pepsi machine. And I said, I brought my buddy back over there and said, "I lied to you. I don't know. I've been not knowing for 10 years. He said, "Well, man, you know what to do. Do it." And I did know what to do. But there's a difference between here and here. And I said, "God, I've been such a fool. Been sitting here listening to all these messages all these years. I trust you now. Will you please save me? I trust you to take me to heaven." That's what the whole problem was. I wasn't trusting Christ. I just wasn't trusting him. And the Lord is asking the sinner today, "Will you trust me? Will you trust me?" Oh, this is probably a bad idea, but Austin Shell, come up here for a minute. Let's see if you'll trust me today. Turn around there, sir, will you? And will you fall back into my arms? Do you trust me? I wouldn't trust me either. I was a salesman for 15 years. I wouldn't trust me neither, but will you fall back into my arms? No, no, no. See, now see, he didn't trust me. He didn't trust me. How about, let's try it again. We'll keep trying it till you get it. You'll get it. You'll get it. I'm here. I'm right here behind you. I'm not going to let you hit that floor. Go ahead. That is trust. Thank you. That is trust. Now, you notice it took him a few tries before he really trusted me, didn't he? He was trying to do what? He was trying to do it on himself, on his own power. He was trying to catch himself. How often do we do that as God's people? The bottom is dropping out. The bill collector's calling you. I know none of you people in here have any bills, amen? We're from America. Of course we got bills. The people are calling. Oh, God, what are we going to do? Well, maybe you did it to yourself, but that's another message. Rest. There's rest for the sinner. The Lord is saying, sinner, won't you come to me? Won't you trust me? There's rest for the saint, too. You know, in all of our runnings around and our scurrying around, and oh, I'm serving the Lord, serving the Lord, serving the Lord, are you resting in Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about, you know, putting your head down on the pillow. I'm talking about when the storms of life are surrounding you, are you trusting Him? When somebody says to you, we don't know what to tell you, the doctors are telling you just to go home and be with your family, what do you say? I haven't walked that road, so I'm not going to comment too much on that. But we're pretty close to some people right now that the doctors have sent her home. Fourth bout with cancer. And she says, well, we just got to trust the Lord. That's resting in Jesus. That's resting. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord wants you to do one thing. He wants you to do one thing. Ask for it. That's all you got to do is say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't handle this pressure. Would you help me? Would you take this burden from me? And you know what? He'll take it just like that. But He just wants us to ask Him. I like what the Lord says here. He says, all you that are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Look what it says in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Now that doesn't sound too restful. If you've ever been around the Amish or any old-time farming equipment, a yoke is a big wooden apparatus about so long and about so high and about this wide. And it's got a shackle apparatus on there, and it holds two cattle or oxen or horses or whatever else you got, usually oxen, together so they can plow a straight furrow. Everybody kind of knows what it is. But the Lord is asking us to do a couple things to get that rest. It's not a big, long, drawn-out process, but He's asking you, take my yoke upon you. You know what, friend? Listen to me for just a second. I won't be just a few minutes, I promise you. Probably 95% of us in here could tell one story or another how we were in shackles and in prison to the devil. That's why the Lord is saying here, take my yoke. My way's a lot easier than what the devil's got for you. My way is actually a pleasure and a delight at the end of the trail. Yes, we have work along the way. We have ministry duties. We have our things to care for. We have our loved ones that we pray for. We have our concerns in Christianity. The life doesn't go away. You still have life to live, amen? But along the way, we can be plowing that straight furrow if we'll just take the Lord's yoke upon us. And the Lord is saying, will you take that upon yourself? The Lord says you have to learn of Him. How many times do we see people that will ask Christ to save them and never one time darken the door? I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm saying they refuse to learn of their Savior. I'm saying they don't see the importance, for one reason or another, of learning of Christ. Friend, if you're going to find rest in your life, here's where you're going to find it, right here. Not out there with your friends, not down at the Elks Club and the Moose and the Rabbits and the Squirrels and the Chipmunks Club, okay? Find it here. Not with your old lost buddies. Amen. Not even in your own, what do they call it now, man cave watching your football game. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that stuff, but you're not going to find spiritual rest for your life by taking care of all those other extemporaneous things. In this house, listen, this man, reading this book, praying on these knees. That's where you're going to find rest. That's where you're going to find rest. And it says that we have to take that yoke upon us. Now, if you've ever been around farm animals before, I've seen different times when we always raised a few cattle, a couple of pigs, a bunch of godless chickens that I hated, and all that. They just stink. Chickens stink. I love eggs, but chickens stink, okay? I'd rather raise hogs any day, and that's bad. But so every once in a while, we'd get an animal, and any of you have done any farming at all, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you'll get an animal that he gets it in his head, I'm not going along with their little program. I'm going to do what I want to do. I had a buddy of mine one time that he used to raise a bunch of hogs, and they were trying to get this hog up in the back of this truck to take him to the market. And I think the hog knew that the jig was up. I think he knew that the program had come to an end. Free meals were coming to an end, and he was going to be the meal. He would not get in that truck. And this guy was a big boy. Him and his helper could not get this hog into the back of that truck. He said, just leave him go. Just let him run into the back of the barn. I'll take care of it later. So they got all these hogs in the back of this truck. And then he went in the house, and he come out. I said, Fred, what are you doing? He said, oh, getting that hog. Boom! Picked it up and threw it in the back of the truck. Drove on down to the, you know, meat market. There's more than one way to skin a hog, I guess. But we must... If we're going to learn something in this life, you say, what does that have to do with anything? I don't know. But if we're going to learn something inside of Christianity, folks, you're going to have to submit yourself to some things. You're going to have to submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to submit yourself to a couple of preachers. And I almost went that whole route and made that a whole message, but the Lord directed otherwise. But we're going to have to submit ourselves to some things. If you're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to submit yourself. You say, well, I know General So's chicken, and I know, you know, Kwai Pang To and all this other stuff, you know. Good for you, you know. And maybe you're a Green Beret and you can just knock down half the guys in here or whatever. But you know what? You don't hold a candle to God, Charlie. You don't hold a candle to God. And if you're going to really learn something in your Christian life, you're going to have to submit yourself to the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. And along the way, a couple of human, flesh and blood people. Yeah. Yeah. I'll just throw this in. This is a free coupon, okay? I don't know if this hits anybody, but I kind of have a wide spray on my shotgun. It really burns my biscuits when people get pulled over by the police and they give the guy a hard time. Right. Yep. That just burns me to pieces. Now, let's think about it. Why did the officer pull you over? Because you're breaking the law. Okay? And then you're going to give this guy a hard time? He's doing nothing more than upholding the law. He's enforcing the law. Don't ever do that when you're riding in the car with me. Please. I think it's embarrassing as a Christian. It's embarrassing. I guess I must have hit somebody. I'm sorry. Don't embarrass yourself. Now, I'm not saying I don't speed, but I am saying this. When I do get pulled over, because I always do, I say, yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you, sir. Show a little respect. Show a little respect. It's just an authority that the Lord put in your pathway. That's a freebie. We must learn of the Lord's ways. We must submit ourselves. There's rest for the sinner. There's rest for the saint. There's also rest in the Lord. Look at Psalm chapter 3, or Psalm 3. We'll We'll be done in just a little bit, I promise you. And verse 4 says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. That means, now what do you think about that? I learned that from Brother Garris, preacher. What a godly man he was. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Let's read that one again. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Now, I know I can get a free amen off of this, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's still true. I don't care if the whole world says I'm not allowed to preach this book anymore and I have to change books. I'm not doing it. I don't care if President Barack Obama himself comes down here and says, you got to get rid of this gospel. You got to get rid of this. You got to accept the homosexuals into your church. I'm going to be standing there packing heat. Amen. Or doing something. I'm going to resist. Yep. Amen. I'm going to resist. I don't care if the whole country says that what we're doing here tonight is wrong. I've got a God in heaven that says it's right. Yes. And I'm going to preach this gospel until I die.
Amen.
Until there's no more breath in these lungs.
Amen.
What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. I don't care who says it's right. I don't care how many peace prizes you get. I don't care how many awards you get to say how smart you are. You're wrong if you don't line up with this book and you don't line up with God. Saying that, what does it take for us to get all shaken up? Oh, no, honey. We don't have the money for the insurance. We don't have the money for the electric bill. What are we going to do? I just got laid off. There's a big one there. That's going around a lot. So what do when you get laid off? Do you sit in the corner and fret? Or you say, okay, God, what do you want? You got my attention. You got my attention, Lord. I'm listening. And trust the Lord. Rest in Him. Rest in Him. You say, oh, well, you're a preacher. You don't have to worry about your paycheck. Okay. You come and try this one on for size once, right, preacher?
Amen.
I've had some pretty down times, economically speaking. I think you could attest to that. But we need to rest in the Lord. Look at 1 Peter 5:7. First Peter 5:7, real popular verse. Real simple, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The Lord wants you to take all that burden and all that stress and all that worry, all the cares of your life, and say, God, I can't handle this. Here, you handle it. Because I'm living for you, and I don't have time to deal with this. Instead of, oh, hang on, honey, we got to batten down the hatches. You lost your 7-hour-a-week job, and now what are we going to do? Or maybe it is a good-paying job, and you lost a full-time job. I've been there. I understand that. But you're not going to get anywhere by fretting and worrying and pulling your hair out. And, oh, what are we going to do? I'll tell you what you need to do is you need to get right down here just like this and say, God, here I am again, and I need help. Or maybe what the Lord's really trying to do is knock on your heart's door and you have to pray this prayer. Well, Lord, I haven't been down here in a long time. And I haven't prayed the way I should have. And I haven't done this the way I should have. I haven't done that the way I should have, but I'm listening now. Will you help us? Maybe your job is getting in the way of you serving the Lord. Maybe the Lord is saying, you know what, Charlie? You got so much time on your hands, or you don't have enough time to talk to me, so I just want to loosen up your schedule a little bit so we can talk, so I can hear from you. And I'm not being judgmental. The Lord knows my heart. I'm not. There's people that, godly people that are losing their jobs just as well, and faithful people that are working steady in the church and trying to live for the Lord, losing their jobs. It's the economy. You know, is a lot of it. You take a whole nation of people and turn them away from God, and this is what you get. You know, we are feasting on the after effects of a godless society. We're going to see a lot more where this came from. A lot more. And so, you know what? Maybe next week, Brother Ballard will say, well, checks are done. Well, praise God, okay. Just get my lesson ready and see what happens tomorrow. That's all you can do. Rest, rest, rest in the Lord. And lastly, hallelujah, turn to 2 Thessalonians. I'm not saying hallelujah because I'm done. I'm saying hallelujah because I love this verse. Maybe you're saying hallelujah. That's okay. You know, and I know life gets to be crazy sometimes. When you think about it, and they'll never ask, but pray for the blacks. Both the parents are sick all the time. Debbie is running her head off day and night, trying to make meals and all that stuff. And Amanda's helping as well. Try to ask the Lord to help there. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. And it says there, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. Not right now. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. You know what? I think that when I finally hear that trumpet, when I finally hear that come up hither, I think I'm going to go, thank the Lord. That's enough. And even Paul said, I'm going to rest from all my labors. Amen. I don't know about you, but I get sick of living in this old sin-cursed world. I haven't preached near as many funerals as what Brother Ballard has, but every time I would preach one or even attend one of a friend or relative, loved one, I just say the same thing. I get so sick and tired of death. It gets so... not that you're going, the family going through it, but the person as you're holding the funerals, and I can't tell you, and if you've never been a preacher, you don't know the anguish of preaching a message where you see a man putting his little 15-year-old girl in a box and saying, oh, God, help me, I can't let her go, holding on like that. You don't know what that does to a preacher. Because you can only give them so much comfort and hope. You can only take them to where they have to put that little girl down in the dirt. And then your job's done. That's all you can do. You don't know the anguish of a preacher that has to do that. But one day, preacher, one day, we're going to rest from all of this, the sickness and the disease and the electric bills and the unemployment and the... all of this mess that the devil has brought in, and we've allowed it to happen, but he's brought it in. Verse 2 there says, and to you who are troubled, rest. And I like these next two words, what Paul says, with us. He's saying, I'm going to be there.
Amen.
I'm going to be there. Don't know about you, but I'm going to be there resting with my Lord in heaven.
Amen.
Four kinds of rest. I want to ask you, what's your trouble? We all got problems in here. If you wanted to sit down and talk about it, we could be here the rest of the night, probably through till morning, to talk about our problems and our troubles. What's yours? I want you to think about something that's really weighing heavy on you right now, because probably every person in here has something in their life that's weighing heavy on them. And then I want to ask you another question. Have you given that to the Lord? Have you given it to the Lord? Don't carry it. Because when you carry those big burdens, you become ineffective. And what the Lord wants out of us right now is labor and service and commitment. That's why he says, bring all your stuff to me. I'll take care of all that junk. You just go. You just go. Take care of the work. Take care of winning souls. Take care of being a blessing to your neighbors and your friends and loved ones. Take care of being a witness. If you get all burdened down with your life, all that kind of gets all dried up, see? You can't be the witness and you can't focus right. You know, if you start thinking about, oh, I got this and this and that and this is going on, suddenly, then when your neighbor Charlie comes over and his heart's been kind of tendered by the Lord and the Holy Spirit's been working on him and he's searching and he's looking. Hey, Mark, how's it going? It's okay. It's all right. I got all this junk going on in my life. Well, he's thinking back to a year and a half ago when you witnessed to him, see? He's thinking, man, I thought Mark was a Christian, and I thought, you know, I thought once you got saved, everything just turned rosy. Well, that's the way they think, so that's okay. It's a lot better than what they got. And so, well, I guess I'll just go look for my answer somewhere else. See what I'm getting at? See what I'm driving at? Take all those burdens, cast them at the feet of the Lord so you can be effective. Rest. Rest. Let's rest. Let's pray. Father, we love you and I thank you, Lord, for your precious word. God, help us to cast all our burdens on you. We know that you care for us. But just like that young man, sometimes we try to do it on ourselves. We try to do it on our own power. God, will you help us, teach us how to submit and how to rest and to learn of you. Thank you for this time now. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was a timely message. Christians can get so troubled and worked up and they forget we have a place of rest. Jesus, the Bible says, he's our refuge. God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. Scripture says to be still and to know God. Until you know him, until you be still, you won't have that rest. Maybe you're facing some things that Brother Mark mentioned tonight. Or maybe you're facing some things that he didn't mention, but the Lord spoke to your heart and you just say, preacher, would you pray for me? I am going, yes, I see that. Who else? Yes, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, sir, I see that. God bless you. Preacher, pray for me. I really need that rest. Yes, I see that. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. I'm going to pray for you right now. Maybe when I pray and we start to sing, you might want to come to the altar, even if you didn't raise your hand. Just say, Lord, I'm being challenged right now with some certain things in my life. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your direction. I need your courage. I need your support. I need your wisdom. Heavenly Father, I pray in the midst of a world that's in trouble and in turmoil, we as God's children would be able to find rest in the midst of it all. Just like the sea when it's troubled, Jesus said, peace, be still. And dear God, I know there's many times in our life seems like our lives are in a sea storm with the waves battering back and forth. But Lord, all we need to do is come to you and let you speak the words, peace, be still. Peace, be still. And calm the heart and calm the soul and calm the mind. Lord, there were several people on both sides of the building today said they were facing some things. I pray that you'd help them. Come down and meet with their life and help them, my Father. Be their Jehovah Jireh, the Lord sees and provides. And help them as the boy lean back and let Mark catch him. Help them to rest in you. Completely trust you. Lord, I'm putting myself in your arms. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's